You're tuned into the Social Media Money Machine Marketing for Profit podcast. Discover how to monetize your social media and build a profitable brand.
All right, today we go fast and furious. It's actually a training I did for the Attraction Marketing Group. It's a group that I work with a little bit, and we've got a little small partnership that has been really fun to see. They've done this for, I want to say, almost 20 years. They were the first of the game for attraction marketing. They're the ones that coined that term. And so I was doing a training. I do a monthly training for that company, and it was all pertaining to social media. So I wanted to take that, and I asked them after for their permission if we could share it with you, because it's everything on the latest trends right now that you need to know for social media, how to smash social media. It goes from everything from the very basic things to more advanced. So enjoy today's training, which now we're turning into a podcast. Short version, guys. I got bronchitis. Started out with the man cold. The man cold's so real that it just turned into bronchitis. So I'm like at first joking around about it. And next thing I know, I got no voice, right? I'm like, can't make this thing happen. And so I tried to do some trainings, and it was like this cough attack. They gave me these magical pearls. Oh, so I got cough drops in the background here just in case. Maybe I'll ask some questions as we go. We'll do some Q&A session, but also answer some of these questions that start out with here that Fernie asked here. And he said, anything you can teach about social media trends you're seeing would be cool. I know you're doing cool stuff with Friar. I think our students would love to hear updates if you got them. So yeah, I'll go through a little bit of the state of social media, what I see, where I think it's headed. When I say I think, that's the one thing I've learned is no matter what I think, right? It's a combination of things that we see where it's constant evolvement and changing. And so let's start out a little bit more of years back with social media, just to give you guys some comprehension. Some of the things you guys understand, that's okay. As I always say, good leaders have vision, great leaders give vision. So good leaders, they're committed, they're going to do whatever it takes, but great leaders know how to convey that vision. So a couple of things. Let's look back at Facebook. When Facebook first started introducing the live feature, I mean, you were getting crazy views. And it's a combination of two things. Number one is anytime the platform launches a new feature, they're testing it. And so they're going to over promote that feature in the algorithm. That right there is a huge insight for you. So anytime there's a brand new feature, just know that brand new feature is going to be over promoted. The second thing is to understand that eventually lives weren't new for people. So they weren't as big of a deal. Now, it doesn't mean lives still aren't great. We'll talk about it here in a second. And then the third thing is there ended up being a lot more people that started doing lives. So maybe at the beginning you saw less than 1% of 1%. And then eventually, even if you see 10% of people doing it, you look at the amount of people that are doing lives. And so that makes it where, of course, it's going to decrease the visibility. Well, we move on. We see things like, you know, stories, they've got their runs, they do well, and it depends on the platform. We'll talk about that. We see things like Reels that took off. And Reels are still doing well, but 2 years ago, they did a lot better. When they're new, again, it's the same concept. We go through this lifespan, right, where it's overpromoted, not as many people do them. And then all of a sudden, algorithm, right? Maybe they're not promoting quite as much. It's not as new of a feature, even though it's great. And then all of a sudden, you've got everybody doing Reels, or at least it feels like that. With that said, a couple different things is Reels still right now are the number one way to gain exposure. Okay, so as far as social media trends currently, we never know what's going to come out, right? All of a sudden something comes out and we test it out, and sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. But like, for example, 2 years ago at this time, we had Clubhouse, and that was all voice. And it was like huge for about 3 months. They should have sold, right? And then Facebook was like, well, we're going to have Clubhouse. And then it was just like, it wasn't even a thing anymore. People were over it. They were done. So you just don't know. So anytime there's a new feature, The principle is it's always worth exploring. It's worth exploring and saying, you know what? Let me see if I can make a run at this because it's a first mover's advantage. And so if you see a new feature that comes out, it's like a big feature, I get it. It can be overwhelming and scary and you don't really get it, but you can get, 10x, 20x, 100x the amount of exposure that you will get later. I mean, I look at lives now. I used to do lives and I think I had maybe 6 or 7,000 followers when lives first came out. And that's on my personal page. Business page, I had a big audience, but on my personal page, and I would do lives and I would get sometimes like 20,000 views. And now it doesn't matter who's doing the live, right? I mean, I saw my buddy the other day do a live. He's got 100,000 followers and he had like 200 comments by the time his live was done. And the next day I went and looked at it and he had like 3,000 views. Like it's almost annoying, but it's part of the game. So Reels, top lead generator still. There's still value in. You never know which reel is going to work. And so if you really, really want to crush it on social media and you're like, okay, Rob, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, I would go on a 30-day reel blitz where you do a reel every single day. And look, they don't have to take that long. In the beginning, you're overthinking it. You can keep it simple. They don't have to all relate to your business as we teach in attraction marketing. You can have three or four of the five reels that you do, doing something non-business related because you're showing people you're a human being. You're showing people who you are. Remember, it's called social media, not spam media, social media. And so, that type of stuff, people you connect with. Now, of course, you're not necessarily going to have people like reach out to you, can I join your business? But we're going to have those posts, those curiosity posts, those curiosity reels as we go. The other thing is what you'll start to see is you do these because I coach this all the time and we've done these 30-day reel challenges for a lot of just personal students we've worked with and some really interesting results. A lot of them, it's like one student, it was on day 10, they finally had a reel take off. But then what they found is they had another one or two reels that they had done in day one and day three that took off. And so retroactively, one great reel can affect some of the others. And sometimes they just don't pop right away and they end up popping later. So look at that and understand that when you commit for 30 days, don't freak out about views. Just say, you know what? I committed to doing it and you're going to learn. What we're looking for is the unicorn. And the unicorn is the one that actually just takes off because it does a couple things. Yes, it retroactively helps the others take off. And the second thing that it does is it gives you insights. TikTok's the best platform for this as an example. If anyone's ever on TikTok, it's the king or queen of beating a dead horse. Like someone does well with one post and you go follow their account, and it's like they literally reenact the same thing in different ways over and over again. Well, all the other platforms are similar, not quite as extreme. But you want to look at it and say, okay, you know what? Once I have some sort of success, then you see what works. And then that gives you a clue. And so after the 30 days, you go look at your three best reels. And then you also get insights on maybe your five worst. And this will tell you what your audience likes about you. You're not being a different version of you, but you're also learning like what your audience connects with the most, what they relate with the most. And so rather than guessing, this gives you real data as you go. And so, that's one of the things that I would do is make sure that you do the reels. Now, you're going to have more success with doing this 30-day reel challenge on Instagram. That is a reality. I know people are like, oh, do I have to? You don't have to. No, if your platform's Facebook, great. Do it on Facebook. If you can do it on both, that's awesome. Do it on both. But and I found that not if it's an auto post from one to the other, it's actually better if you save right the draft or save it and then you go post them directly to both. So first things first, preference is Instagram for reels, right? Facebook second, and then if you can do both as you go. If you're focused on TikTok, great. That's awesome. same concepts, same principles as you're building. Transitioning now to a couple other things. Stories are really big on Instagram. They're not as big on Facebook. Oftentimes people now, when they go on Instagram, maybe some of you are guilty, right? I know my wife is.
I had a question about reels. So
ask. No, you're good. That's what the session's for.
I was trying to eat.
Don't be sorry. You're good. Yeah. I need a breather. I'm going to have a cough attack. So okay. Thank you.
So I've been doing reels at least 7-8 months right now. Okay. Yeah. Probably about 3 per week. Some yes business, some products, some me. And then I did notice that reels that I was making 6 or 7 or 8 months ago had way more views than current ones. Like I'm talking 1,000 views as opposed to 150. But I did this reel a couple of weeks ago, and it was just an honest conversation that my daughter was talking on camera, and I just made it a little bit faster and put, it was like a Powerball wish list.
Yeah.
Like going, and she's not even asking for money. She's asking for health and wine and chocolate and children and, you know, and every time she goes like, win, it got 28,000 views.
What?
And I was like, what can I do with it? Like, I can't do anything. So I asked a couple of other people and they're like, I mean, unless you talk about authenticity, there's nothing really that you can talk about. But I don't know what made it, you know, so big. For me, 28,000 views is a lot. So, and nothing else. I mean, yeah, I had probably the most played one was like 5,000 before that. But again, that was like 8 months ago. So I can't figure out how to do it. And I'm mainly on Facebook, but it's funny that you said that don't do it automatically to Instagram, because that's what I have. You know, my personal goes automatically. So I don't know how to stand out.
Yeah. Well, congrats, first off. So second off, what I would do is I would list some of the principles that happened with that one. Number one is you had you and your daughter. And so that's one principle. Second principle is of course we already know like authenticity and all that stuff, but it was a talking one. Like she was talking and you captured it. And I'm not saying you can always do those. I don't know circumstances, like if she lives close or if she's by you or around you all the time, but it's worth, if she is, or if there's a way that you can think of, you know, different ones or different questions that you can come up with that you can ask that center around that, that are maybe not exactly the same, but are similar. And so it's almost like you're asking the same question in 10 different ways to see if you've caught on to something and if it's something that really connects with people, or if it was just one of those one-off, you know, for whatever reason it took off, random circumstances. Cause I get it. You're like, it was so random. Like I want to do more, but like how? And so I always try to list like the principles. Like I'll give you an example. This gal I used to teach tennis to, and she actually watched our kids. Years ago, we went on this trip to Singapore. I think we're the reason actually why it was the first diaper her and her husband ever changed, why they didn't have kids for 3 years after that. But she has like 1.5 million followers on Instagram, YouTube. She's got even more TikTok, like just insane. Like she makes so much money now. And what happened is right when COVID happened, she did a video and it was like her husband and their little boy and how excited the husband would get about the little boy. And they beat a dead horse. And we're talking like to the point of like, I know him, I love him, but I'm like, how many times can you try to share the same story? They still find different ways to do it and make millions of dollars now from, I mean, they get sponsored by like crazy, big, huge companies. So I don't know if that's possible, but if it is, you know, and your daughter's willing, like if you could script out, you know, some of those, where they're basic and you don't have to tell her what to answer or anything, just some questions and say, hey, I'm just going to do like a couple, and you could even do them at once, like batch create content, like a couple different ones, and then say, okay, I sped up the voice. It was my daughter. I asked a question, right? And then you try to recreate as many of the principles as you can to see if it works. Does that help?
Yeah, definitely got it. She goes to grad school, so it's hard to get a
Yeah.
hold of her, but I will. I keep
Yeah.
asking her all the time, can you do some TikToks with me? Or
That's why I
but
said I logistically I'm like I'm not sure because sometimes you get that, but that's the concept. When you find something like that, we just list out all of the principles and see what we can recreate and learn from it. And then if you can't with her, you're like, well, can I try something similar like this with someone else that I'm around all the time? And maybe they just connect with your personality and her personality, the combo, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it
It
does.
was actually just her on camera. I
Oh,
mean, she
wow.
was talking to us, but you couldn't see anyone else, just her. So, I think it's her.
That's great.
You
Yeah,
couldn't see my face.
that's
So.
how my 13-year-old daughter is. Like, she's just people gravitate and it's cool. But congrats. And the other thing is, what I would challenge you to do is you've been so consistent. Like, very few people do that. That's amazing. A lot of the people that I've seen, even one of my business partners, that he was the same, like all these views, and then it was like he was doing one or two and it was going down. He's frustrated. So he actually doubled down and he did two reels a day for 60 days. And because he wasn't getting any exposure and he was mad, he's like, we're coaching this stuff. Like, I'm going to figure this out again. And he ended up within a month, 30 days' time, he ended up having, it was like 1.5 million people that had seen his Instagram account. So sometimes we just got to like say, you know what? Fine. You want to play that game and it's harder now? Well, then I'm going to work harder than everyone else. And I'm going to outperform. So that's another idea, is you just go nuts and do one in the morning, one in late afternoon or early evening, and you're like, I'm doing two a day, and I'm gonna figure this thing out.
I like that approach. So I might take you up on that and then
Do
let
it
you
and keep me posted on it. I guarantee
Yeah.
you'll have a couple that just massively pop.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions on Reels before I move on to stories?
Hi Rob. Would
Hi.
you mind answer the second question she asked? Because I'm facing the same maybe challenge. Mainly use Facebook and I do my reels from there and automatically post to Instagram just because I find Facebook a little bit easier to do the reels from.
So first off, congrats for doing it. I'd rather have you do it than not do it. Second thing is if I have preference, then it would be you can create it in Facebook, save it on your phone, and then post it directly to Instagram rather than auto posting. It's so stupid. You would think, because they're owned by the same person or platform, that they should do just as well, but they haven't. We've tested a lot. And the third thing is, if you're like, you know what, I don't want to take the time to do that, then who cares? Just keep doing what you're doing and say, you know what, I'm focused on Facebook and whatever happens on Instagram, so be it. And I'll let it auto post. So it's not like this big, huge, massive deal. It's just I go from like tedious, detail-oriented to, more broad of, it's better to have it, done than perfect. So does that help?
Yes, it does. And what you just said, I think is very true because sometimes I download on my phone and post at a different time to Instagram, and that does get more views and likes than even the one that is auto posted. So yeah,
Yeah.
thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions on Reels that I can help answer? All right. You guys can anytime. You'll see in the you can just raise your hand during it. If I'm talking or something, you guys have questions, and I'm more than happy to stop. It helps me to gather my voice and not have a cough attack. So feel free to interrupt anytime. So now moving on to stories. So stories is the behind the scenes reality version. Stories is where people want to see your life. Stories is where people don't get as annoyed. What do I mean by that? If you post five posts in a day, people are like, who is this little spammy pammy? Like, stop posting so much. But if you post five stories, it's not that big of a deal at all. And we all have people we love following that post probably seven, eight stories a day, and you love it. Now, of course, there are other people that, maybe don't post the best stories, but you get what I mean. And so stories is where you can almost compress an entire week in a day. Now, you don't have to post seven stories or five stories. In fact, unless you're really, really good at stories, I would say you're good with three stories. You can post more if you have a really good day or compelling event or a trip or a story you're telling, right? Then it's good. I mean, I had a friend the other day. She's actually a cousin, and her daughter was playing girls basketball, but she's not athletic and she's never played basketball before. She probably posts like 15 stories. I watched all of them. It was the most hilarious thing I have ever seen in my life. Like, I'm like, this cannot be real. But she had a special event, right? And so there is no like for sure set thing. I try to teach principles, but understand inside of these principles, you're gonna have special circumstances. The other thing is with stories, people are less offended when you're a little bit more direct about a pitch. I don't know why. It just is. I mean, think about it. When you see someone make a post like incredible product special right now, DM me, right? I mean, that's not really good. There's no curiosity there, but you're like, ugh. But when it's in a story, it's not a big deal. Like you just quickly go to the next one or the next one. And so stories is a great place to be a little bit more direct or even indirect with your business or products. Now, again, don't, make sure you're providing value. It's not just like, buy my product. It's on sale. They're like, I don't even know what your product is. I don't care if it's on sale or not. I didn't know how much it was before, right? So always put yourself in the customer's shoes and say, if I knew nothing about this product, right, or business, would I be interested in this story? And if the answer is no, then that's not a very good story. The other thing is, and this is a little bit more advanced, let your stories expire once a week. What do I mean by that? Anytime you post a story, it lasts 24 hours, that specific story, right? So if I post a story now, and then it's 3 hours later, that story only has 21 hours left. And then I post a new story, then the new story has 24 hours and the old story, 21 hours. Well, so it's kind of this revolving thing as you go. For whatever reason, it's been interesting the last 6 months as we've done tests on it. When you let it just completely reset, it like, however you want to describe it, it just works, resets the algorithm. But you'll find that if you let it reset and completely expire, where you have no stories at all, and then you post a story, you'll find that you actually get a little bit more exposure. And so, just if you're very good at stories and deliberate, just set maybe once a week a specific time, maybe put it in your calendar where you let stories expire. And that's another simple hack to help you out. The next one is going back to lives. Although lives suck compared to before with viewership, they're still the best way to create raving fans. I would rather have someone watch an entire live that I do for 10 minutes, rather have 10 people watch that than have a reel where I have 100 views on it. And the reason is because reels are great. It's like a quick, right, little peek. It's like you got an incredible cake and they get a teeny little bite of the cake, right? So they're like, get a little taste, a little appetizer maybe. But where you create the raving fans is in the lives, because that's where they actually really truly get to know you. And so don't do the live for the massive views. Do the live for several other reasons. Number one is to create raving fans. But number two, I think, is more important. Find your voice. Stephen Covey wrote a book called The Eighth Habit. Now, he wrote The Seven Highly Effective Habits, one of the best business books of all time. And short story on that is I actually was really good friends with his youngest son and had no idea who he was. So I'm hanging out at his house my whole senior year and found out how famous he was years later. I'm like, oh, he was the nicest guy in the world. Like, I wish I would have known who you were, old man. Like, he was just this old, awesome, nicest, like, kindest, soft-spoken guy at like indoor pool, 23,000 square foot home, and was just always serving. So he also wrote a book called The Eighth Habit that came out a decade or later, maybe longer. And that whole book was on one concept: find your voice. And as you do consistent lives, you'll find your voice. You'll get better at communication. You'll get better at articulating your message concepts. You'll start learning, feedback of what people resonate and connect with. And so, that's something where you can be consistent and decide you're going to do it once or twice a week, or every so often you say, you know what, I'm going to go on a live blitz. And you say, I'm going to do live every day for 30 days. And I think blitzes in any one of the things, whether it's reels, stories, or lives, is the best way for you to actually, really, really learn a specific feature on a platform. And so I suggest that you're always trying to figure out new little blitzes that you do on a specific feature that you want to really, really grow your business. And then eventually you kind of settle in and you still go on blitzes, but you create your own little daily or weekly method of operation. Now, why do I say daily or weekly? Is because, if you're only going to do two lives a week, that's not a DMO, right? That's a weekly method of operation. So maybe you're to the point where you're like, hey, I'm going to do a reel every single day. I'm going to crush this. I'm going to do two lives and I want to do minimum of two stories. And now you got your little success checklist, as I like to call it, for social media. And you've created your own little system. And this is what I'm doing for this month, no matter what. And you commit to that and you go do that. Other little things as I'm thinking out loud here is before, and again, some of these things are tedious. So don't freak out if you're like, do that. That's okay. Like the main thing is let's progress, right? Progress is the definition of happiness. So if there's something you don't do, don't panic. I'm going from very basic to super advanced. So before I make a post, I like to do a couple of things. I like to warm up the algorithm, right? That's the simplest way to say it. So one of the things that the algorithm looks at is recent interaction. So I like to go comment on people's posts for 5, 10 minutes. Because what this does is it creates recent interaction. They're more likely to see my content. The second thing that I do, and I did this even before I was on social media, be a networker first, be a network marketer second. So I would reach out to people via text before social media, 300 people a month, non-business related. That's only 10 a day. It doesn't take very long when it's a text or voice message. Well, social media came around and I started focusing on it. Then I would do use it via social media. And you're like, well, who? Someone who sent your friend request, someone who you sent a friend request to, someone who's their birthday, someone who you look at and you're like, oh, I like their post and you want to comment on, shift it to the DMs or shift it to Messenger. The money is in Messenger. And this is just being a good human being because some people say yes, some people say no to your business. And yes, I know the number one income producing activity is actually making those new invites for people to look at your business or products. But when you're following these social media strategies, including the new reach outs, yes, that helps the algorithm because of recent interaction. But I mean, how much more likely are people to take a look at what you have instead of, as network marketers, we're part of the NFL, right? The no friends left. The no friends league, where it's like, hey, Sally, haven't talked to you in 7 years. Want to buy my products? Want to join my business? And Sally's like, you're a taker. She doesn't say that. And that's where we have like these limiting beliefs and fears. And we know we're givers, but we don't want to come off as takers. So Sally says, no. What do? You wait 15 months later. You haven't said a word to Sally. Hey, Sally. Hey, girl. Just seeing if things have changed, are you interested? And they're like, are you kidding me? But you see how, as simple as it sounds, if I'm doing the 300 messages and just being a good human being, like whether they join my business or not, maybe they help me with something else, maybe I help them with something else in life. I'm just being a networker first. Well, now, right, I reach out to Sally and we've had three, even if it's quick conversations, I mean, like just via Messenger back and forth. Like three different times in between those 15 months, the likelihood of Sally at least being open to taking a look greatly increases. So one of the big misconceptions I think of attraction marketing is I think people just think of too often of just attracting the perfect lead or person that wants to join their business. That's like happens. That's the ideal scenario. But the secondary is just as big. I want to do so good and be deliberate on social media that when I reach out, maybe only 1 out of 10 normally say yes, but now because I'm doing so good at this attraction marketing and social media, 2 out of 10 say yes. Doesn't sound like huge numbers. I don't ever I try not to over exaggerate things. But when you look at that, that's doubling your numbers. It's not huge, but it is when you compound it. Like, well, you only got 2 out of 10 instead of one. Hey, you compound that over the course of time when you're making new invites, it's pretty massive and can make a huge difference. And so that's a little bit of stories, lives, reels. Written posts are great. Short posts are an easier way to get short form text is an easier way to get engagement. If you ask questions that are legitimate questions, it's a great way to bring your audience in, right? Like some of the ones that you've seen that are simple, some of the ones I've done years ago, and now I've literally seen probably thousands of network marketers do them, which is great. One of the ones I did was, what's a food that most people like that you hate? Honestly, any of you could do that one. And you'll see it crush it because people, especially on Facebook, not on Instagram, you will not see that much engagement on Instagram. But on Facebook, question-based posts, people love to give their opinions. And so if you can give them something that they that's not too hard, right? But you'll start seeing things like seafood and broccoli, and then you'll see random things, right, that you can't even believe people say that they hate. And it's like everyone's like in on it. It's like this whole community from one post. And so you start creating more posts that are similar to that at least once a week, because it's a way for you to really increase your visibility and help you just smash the algorithm. And so I constantly am doing different posts like that because it's just kind of fun to see. And it's also fun to see those answers. Like I love it, besides building on the algorithm. The next strategy for social media is Facebook groups. And again, you can't do all of these at once. You got to pick and choose. And as you become more advanced and you start adding and adding and adding till eventually it's just part of what you do. So I'm never going to teach someone that hasn't run a marathon to go run, hey, let's go run 15 miles. So start wherever you're at and just focus on progress. But the Facebook group strategy is really simple. Find something that you're interested in, something you're passionate about. Don't think your products, like let's say your product is skincare. Don't who would love skincare? Most people want to look better. Don't think that way. Instead, start with a Facebook interest group of what's something that interests you. So, for example, the example I give is it's actually not true. I put hiking, but my wife loves hiking and I love my wife. So we'll just go with hiking, right? And so I could go find a Facebook group on hiking. Now I'm kind of look right when you join the group, it will say active, like how many posts they've been having a day. I'm gonna look at that metric and I'm gonna join probably two to start because I don't wanna join 10 and be overwhelmed. And then after that, I go to the group and then what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make a post. And when I make the post, I'm not just going to give an opinion. I'm going to ask a question based on what I just taught you guys. So I could put in there my opinion would be something like my two favorite hikes I've ever done. And I could put Trolltunga, right? I did that in Norway with my wife. My goodness, it's not, I don't even know what you call it. It's not a hike. I swear it was like 20 miles, like no joke. It was like for me, a hike's like a mile. For my wife, it's like 5 miles minimum, or it doesn't count. So I could put Trolltunga, Norway, and then I could put a second one, Nepali Coast Hike in Kauai. And then after, I could put what are your favorite hikes? Well, if it's a hiking group, that thing is gonna explode. And so now the explodes. So now I've created visibility. anyone who comments on it. I could do a couple of things. Number one, Adam is a friend. We're not like BFFs. I'm not sending him some BFF necklace, but like at least they know who I am now. Number two is I'm going to reply to comments, but I don't reply to all at once. Because in a group, the way the algorithm works is anytime there's a comment, it pops it to the top. The top is the most prime piece of real estate in a Facebook group. So if I reply to all 10 comments, then I'm there. I got to save that in case the comments start dying off, right? I want to reply to a comment and bring that to the top where I have prime piece of real estate again. So it depends on how deliberate you want to be. You can be very deliberate on that. It could be once a day if you want. Like, you decide on that, but at least you understand the principle and concept. I'm going to add them as a friend, and then I'm going to reference their comment. People, what do you say? I'm in a Facebook interest group of something I'm interested in. It's easy. What do I say? Like, they could put in there, their favorite hike was a hike in Switzerland. Great. I switch over and I'm like, hey, Johnny, thanks for commenting on my post. Saw you said your favorite hike's in Switzerland. Like, how many times have you been to Switzerland? I've always wanted to go there. True story. Have always wanted to go there. Like, any other hikes you suggest out there? Like, that's just being a normal human being. It's not like, what do I say? How do I say it? That's why Facebook interest groups are great. People you would want to talk to anyways, whether they buy your products or join your business. Super simple. After that, you create a transition question. Now, a transition question is a leading question where you ask them about something hoping that they ask you back. So if I have a supplement product, I could be like, Johnny, all the hikes that you do all over the world, like, what do you take that keeps you fit? And Johnny, like, oh, I take like this, 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 right? Well, typically they're going to ask you back. What about you? Not always, but typically. If they do, easy peasy. If they don't, people are like, huh, what do I do? You already opened the conversation. Easy. Ah, that's awesome, Johnny. What I found is, you know, for me, like, yeah, I'm working out consistently, but I actually found this product that's, you know, made a huge difference, right? Easy. Transition. Now, I'm not selling them on buying. I'm not selling them buying the business products or, you know, buying like anything. I'm just selling them on taking a look. That's it. And so you transition. Now, the last step is well, what if they say no? This is a simple hack. I was the number one recruiter of a million distributors. I'm naturally an introvert. Cold messaging scared me, like would put me in a like cold sweat, like scared me so massively. And so I had to figure out how to use my personality style. So someone said no, I did this. I put a reminder in my phone to reach out to them 2 weeks later. And I did not talk about the business as far as pitching. I'd be like, hey, Johnny, like, I just wanted to thank you for taking a look. You know, sounds like obviously right now, not a great time or anything, but if there's anything I can ever do to help you out, anything at all, like don't be a stranger, stay in touch. We don't teach how to be a networker, right? And I put another reminder in my phone 2 months later. And I find a way, whether it's I see a post he made or an excuse just to have a quick ping. That's it. Quick conversation, not long, like just shoot a message again. And now if I want to reach out about the business again, whether it's in 6 months or 8 months or 9 months or products or something's changed or new product release, or I saw something happen in his life or something, it's way more natural. And so I didn't lose people in my contact list. I just felt like I only had a better chance because I took the time. And you think about that, that time is a couple of minutes over the course of 4, 5, 6 months. Not long. Yeah.
I have a question. So how do you follow up with these people? So let's say you met them on social media, so you don't really know them that well. So you need to remind yourself next time.
Yeah.
You're reaching out to them. So how do you follow up? I have not found a good system yet.
Yeah. So you're saying following up, like you haven't approached them yet, but you just kind of made a quick contact with them?
Well, no. Well, like the ones that you're approaching again, they told you no, and you're talking to them 2 weeks later or 2 months later.
Yeah.
You need to, because I network in person a lot. And I meet a lot of new people in person. I love networking. So, good. I mean, in groups, in person. And so a lot of times I have to write down for myself who they were or where I met them, because it's so many people that it's hard to remember.
Yeah. So I would do that always. I would have in my phone, like I would put NM, which stands for network marketing. And I would put their name in my phone. And then I would put notes anytime I met anyone. So I would do that as well. I would always try to add them on social media because then it was a way for them to actually remember me, because you're posting consistent reels. And so I would always make that a point of reference to reach out to them. And then with these people, you said these are people that have said no to you. Is that correct?
Well, some of them, or some of them, I mean, I don't lead with a product. So sometimes we get to talk about it a little bit, but I don't say anything yet until later on. So but I need to remember what I talked to them about. So.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, Ali's right. CRMs are great. Everyone's so different on how they like to organize things, whether it's like spreadsheet or they're using like specific apps or like they're writing it down, right? It's like everyone is so, I get that question a lot, and everyone's so all over the place what works best for them. But you know, there's two parts to that. Of course, there's the person that you haven't asked yet, and there's the person that says no. Person you haven't asked yet, your job and role is sometime in the first to third conversation, you need to approach them. I didn't say message, I said conversation. If it's the first message, that's spammy, right? But in the first conversation, it's okay. Second conversation, third conversation. After the third conversation, we're overdoing it a little bit and it just slows business down. There is no right win. I actually did a study on this. It was study, like simple poll, and I think we had close to 400 votes, and it was really mixed. It was super interesting. I had no idea how it would turn out. And it was like 50-50 people that were serious in network marketing, still in network marketing, if they were approached in the first conversation or somewhere after in like the third. And it was like, I don't know, like 65% or the second or the third. So it was pretty evenly divided between the three. And so approach people how you would want to be approached. Would you rather be approached in the first conversation, second or third? Whatever that is, that'll make you feel like the bold version of you. Because people will judge you no matter what. You approached me too soon. You took too long. You had a hidden agenda. You're like, yeah, I had a hidden agenda. I want to help you make money with incredible products. Like, that's my hidden agenda if it works for you. So that's with that. And then with that, deciding like when and really, really what to say. Obviously, it depends on relationship, conversations. I know there's lots of variables to it, but for me, like once I'm ready to ask, I'm really, really direct. And you have to find what feels authentic for you as far as a direct opening. A lot of people like to say, like, you know, are you open to, and they fill in the blank, like, hey, are you open to looking at products that can insert benefit or value? Right? Or if it's a business, it's something similar. If that doesn't feel good to you, you need to find something that's an opening question that's very, very direct, where you're asking them a simple yes or no question. Because if they say yes, then it's like, great. And then remember in your mind, you're not selling them on buying the products or joining the business. The only thing you're selling them on is taking a look at either the business or the product. So my whole thing was, I'm going to sell hard. So hard on looking, not buying or joining. Looking, and that's it. And so I would challenge you to write a list of direct kind of opening questions that you can ask. And then I would test it because I can give you all these theories and all these ideas, and Fernie can, and everyone else can. But in the end, the best way to actually know what works for you and your uniqueness is to test it. And how you do that is you've narrowed it down to maybe two. And what you do is you got maybe like one that you test on half the people and the other one you test. And after about 20 of them, you should have pretty good data on which one works better for people willing to look. And now it's no longer of what Rob thinks or Fernie thinks or anyone else thinks. You're like, no, I know. And then you take the one that works and keep it. And the one that didn't work, get rid of it, recreate a new one based on the principles and concepts of why you think it's your theory, hypothesis on why this worked. And now you test all over again. And imagine if you consistently did that over and over and over again, like every 20 to 30, you would test on each. Eventually, you're going to have the very perfect script for you specifically. Like, it may not work for everyone else, but for you, you're like, no, I know. I know my numbers and I know exactly what, based on what I say, what works.
I feel like when I see somebody face to face, it's always easier.
Yeah.
But when you're texting them, when you're messaging them, that's when you get stuck. That's when I get stuck
Oh, I
sometimes.
agree. And then if they don't respond, you're like, are they ghosting me? Right? It's like, oh, like it never feels great. I mean, look, like I said, I was the number one recruiter out of a million distributors. Maybe I'm different, but I never got to the point where I felt good if I was ghosted or rejected. I was never like, oh, I felt so good. Like ever. It never felt good. But I got better at it. I got it got easier for dealing with the emotions, and for you, you're really good face to face. I personally also like voice messaging better. A lot of people feel uncomfortable with it, but I think it's just much more real and authentic. And so I personally like doing that, right? Voice messaging. But to each their own. I say, like I said, it's better to just do it. It's better done than perfect. But if we're going to be picky, voice messaging is typically better. Yeah, Holly.
I have a question about lives within groups. So I have a customer group that on Facebook, and that's where I have my curriculum for my like the health-based product customers. Is there value, or what's the different value of going live in a closed group like that? You said it was to create these raving fans. Is there benefit of still going live within a group of people who's already bought in versus going live on a personal page or a business page that is for prospects to come in and to have a look? Is there, presumably you could do both, right?
Yeah.
But is there a benefit of doing both? Or if you have limited time and you had to choose one, are you keeping your raving fans that have already said yes, like super happy? Or are you trying to get more with lives?
Yeah. So two things. If it's a live that you can do both at the same time, then just use one of the apps, right? StreamYard, one stream. If it's not, because you're speaking to different audiences and saying different things, I would do a little bit of mix and match, which isn't taught. I'm so glad you asked this question because it needs to be taught more. You will get your most amount of customers from your customers. And it's just in network marketing, it's always recruit, 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 recruit. And it's like this bucket, and there's holes in the bucket. We keep filling the recruiting with water, water, water. And then with the holes, right, it keeps coming out. And we're like, ah. And so we go pour more water, more water, more water. But honestly, like, you look at all sales statistics, and I can't remember, I heard them like a month ago. It's astronomical how much more likely you are to get a customer from a customer than just get your own brand new customer. And so I think that's your gold mine right there of trying to figure out best way to not just retain, but make them where they're raving fans to the point that they just love the community so much. They want to share it with other people. And so I think that should be a big focus. And so I think it's toggling between the two as you go.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yep. Good stuff. Any last questions? I get to do a telemedicine appointment now for my daughter because she has the same thing I do. So she wants to get some of the good stuff so she can get better.
Yes, hi, Rob. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I need clarification. So you mentioned about stories, posting them and waiting a week or so. Can you explain that? I got a little bit confused. When
yeah,
you
for sure.
That.
So you can post daily on your stories.
Yeah.
You're good. You can post however many you want. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But eventually, anytime you post a story, if you keep it going, the streak, right? You always have a story that is showing. Well, once a week, wait 24 hours where you don't post any story at all.
Okay.
And let them completely expire, resetting the algorithm. And you'll find typically when you post your story after that, then you usually get a little bit of a bump and more exposures. And so I just let them completely expire once a week.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I was a little bit confused on that. So you did clarify my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. I hope you found some value, and we're ready now to smash social media for 2024, whatever they throw at us, right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Have a great
holiday.
Thank you guys.